Welcome to The Honest Report, a weekly podcast analyzing media coverage of the Arab Israeli conflict, anti-Semitism, and radical Islamic terrorism.
They attacked by air, land, and sea, taking Israel by surprise during a major Jewish holiday. Now, 13 and a half hours after Hamas launched its audacious assault, Israel says it's at war.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says when it comes to destroying Hamas, quote, nobody will stop us.
Here's your host, Rob Walker.
Egypt plays a towering role in the Middle East. Not only is the country the most populous in the region, home to more than 100 million people, it is also the first Arab state to make peace with Israel back in 1979. Egypt also plays a critical role in the current war between Israel and Hamas, bordering Gaza. What is Cairo looking for in its relationship with Israel, with Hamas, and what role is it trying to play in the Middle East at large? To share his expertise in this area, we are joined by Dr. Ophir Winter. Dr. Winter is a senior researcher at the Institute for National Security Studies based in Tel Aviv, where he specializes in Arab-Israeli relations and contemporary Egypt. Welcome to the Honest Report podcast. Dr. Ophir Winter, welcome to the Honest Report podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. We, of course, as you recall, we had previously recorded a podcast prior to October 7th. Of course, everything had changed since then, and so really necessitating, of course, following up on that and that conversation, because Egypt is not just a peripheral player to what's going on now, it is central. Help us understand a little bit in the multiple ways, both in terms of the aid that comes into Gaza, in terms of Israel's long-term perspective with respect to what the governance of the Gaza Strip is going to look like, refugees. Help us understand a little bit just how central Egypt is to this entire dynamic.
Yes, you are totally right. Egypt is very much central to whatever is going on now in Gaza Strip. You know that the only border of Gaza, which is not Israel, is the Egyptian Gaza border. It's about 14 kilometers. And much of the humanitarian aid is getting nowadays from to Gaza from Egypt through this border. Of course, there is also the huge question of smuggling weapons from the Sinai in Egypt into Gaza through the tunnels across their mutual borders. So it's also a huge question in the whole picture of what happened on October 7th. And of course, Egypt is also the mediator between Israel and Hamas alongside Qatar. It's important not only but in previous rounds of violence, it was important to get a ceasefire. Now the question is not only stopping the war, but also, of course, the release of the hostages that were taken by Hamas. So Egypt is very much crucial in everything that we see since October 7th. And it has also its own interests. It is also affected by the war, and the Israeli-Egyptian relations are affected in several ways by the war between Israel and Hamas.
So tell us about where Egypt is coming from. Obviously, it shares a border both with Israel and boundary with the Gaza Strip. What are its concerns with respect to what's going on? Why has it decided to play this role?
Yes, I think Egypt has three main concerns. First of all, is the duration of the war. You know that Israel wants to make sure that Hamas will not be in Gaza after the war. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. We still have the problem in the north of from Hezbollah. Egypt, on its own side, wants to make the war as short as possible. because the war is harming several Egyptian economic interests, first and foremost. Of course, the major one is the Suez Canal, which ensures the annual revenues of almost $10 billion for Egypt. It's very much important for its foreign currency. And since the beginning of the war, as you probably know, there are also tensions in the Red Sea from the Houthis, from Yemen. And then much of the transportation, maritime transportation, was stopped and moved from the Suez Canal to longer routes. So about almost 50% of Egyptian revenues were lost during the last month of January. And each day, Egypt pays billions of dollars, not billions, but millions of dollars, which it really in desperate need nowadays when it faces economic crisis. So this is a first point. Another point, which is an Egyptian concern, is the Egyptian fear that Israel has a kind of a conspiracy to displace the citizens of Gaza and make them to move from Gaza to Egypt and to solve the problem of Gaza at Egypt's expense.
Well, Egypt has been stepping up its number of checkpoints along its border with Gaza, that satellite images are revealing this. Now, in November, construction crews began working on a raised strip of land some 200 meters away from the fence dividing Egypt from the Gaza Strip. It's now 3.5 kilometers long. That brings the total length of the earth barrier to some 14 kilometers.
So Egypt wants to make sure that such a scenario won't happen. They fear it could happen, which by Israel initiative to, let's say, displace those citizens, but also due to the humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip, which is not simple. So, of course, Egypt has also a lot of efforts to transfer humanitarian aid into Gaza, also to prevent such a scenario, which is a huge problem from an Egyptian point of view. Secretary of State of the United States, Antony Blinken, just visited Egypt, and this was a main topic in the discussions between the minister and his Egyptian counterparts. Because Egypt, for example, doesn't want that UNRWA, which is the agency that helps refugees in Gaza, will stop working, will stop making its efforts to supply aid to the population, and this could sever the humanitarian situation in Gaza. Mm-hmm. And maybe the final point is the day after. Egypt wants the Palestinian Authority to be back in the Gaza Strip. It wants the West Bank and the Gaza Strip to be reconnected and to have a kind of political horizon for resuming the Israeli-Palestinian peace process or peace negotiations. Israel, so far, doesn't say exactly what it wants the future of Gaza to look like, and of course also doesn't accept the Palestinian Authority to be the next ruler in Gaza, at least not unconditionally. So these are the main concerns and also points of friction between both sides, Israel and Egypt.
And so Egypt here on one hand is in a very difficult spot. Obviously, it knows that the worse violence gets or the longer the war between Israel and Hamas goes in Gaza, there could be a blowback on it economically and so on. At the same time, as you said, it's looking for more of a long-term stability in Gaza with the Palestinian Authority. But, of course, until Hamas is gone, that's not going to happen. So what behind closed doors, to the best of your knowledge and that you can share with us, what does Egypt want realistically to take place in Gaza, knowing that that if they want the Palestinian Authority, that's not going to happen without Hamas stepping aside, either voluntarily or otherwise. So what's the most realistic solution to this from their mind?
Yes, there are not easy solutions. Of course, Israel and Egypt also have some mutual interests that might be a starting point for agreements and also, let's say, building a mutual vision for both countries and other regional and international players in Gaza Strip. For example, both countries want a stable Gaza Strip because the chaos and anarchy in the Gaza Strip could play negative roles in the eyes of both sides, and also to become a source of terrorism, exporting terrorism both to Israel and to the Sinai Peninsula. It happens before, and it's not in the interest of both sides that Gaza will become an unstable place in the future. Of course, also Egypt sees Hamas as the offspring of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I don't think that Egypt wants Hamas' model to become a victorious one and successful one and to inspire others in the region, including in Egypt itself. So what could be the solutions? I think that there are some tactical issues. For example, stopping smuggling from Egypt to Gaza. This is a very important tactical point to be solved between Israel and Egypt. But of course, we also need to think about, let's say, a long-term vision that could be supported by both sides. As I said, Egypt wants to see the Gaza problem as part of the Palestinian problem, and the Gaza solution also as a part of the whole Palestinian solution. This is why they want to see the Palestinian Authority back in Gaza, under control of Gaza, and they want to see Hamas maybe as part of the Palestinian Authority. They don't want Hamas to become a spoiler for future, solutions for the Gaza Strip. So they want to bring Hamas, but Hamas demilitarized and under the control of the main ruler of the Palestinian Authority. And of course, Egypt could also play very important roles when it comes to reconstruction of Gaza and also the development of Gaza with different infrastructures, that some of them could come also from Egypt into Gaza and to build a new future for a more stable future for the Gaza Strip.
Now, you had touched on this in the beginning, and I wanted to circle back to that, and that's the issue of smuggling. Many people, certainly observers, I think were quite shocked to see the extent of Hamas's logistical and military capabilities on October 7th. Where did they get, obviously they've smuggled in, they've created, built a lot of these weapons, but they've been smuggled in primarily from tunnels underneath Egypt, or from where?
I don't have the information exactly where it comes from, but I think it's the more reasonable, to assume that most of it came from Egypt and not from Israel. It could come from three sites, or let's say four different sources. One is Israel, which I think the border is very much monitored from underground, and of course also the cross borders are very much monitored. It could come from the sea, smuggling from the sea, which is very complex. So it's not very, likely that it came from the sea. It could be manufactured inside the Gaza Strip, but not everything could be manufactured there. And it could come from Egypt. And we know that a lot of it came from Egypt. I saw a publication a few days ago that Israel knows about at least two tunnels of smuggling between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. And of course, it could come or be smuggled also from the cross borders in Rafah between Egypt and the Gaza Strip, which I'm not sure is monitored like it's monitored from the Israeli side. So you know that for Egypt, the smuggling problem from Gaza to Egypt is not a new one. It's something that we know for several decades. Egypt made a lot of efforts 10 years ago to fight this smuggling by flooding some of these tunnels, by displacing Egyptians in Sinai, 5 kilometers away from the border in the Egyptian side of the border, in order to make it harder for Hamas and some militants, ISIS-affiliated militants in the Egyptian side, to make military and other also economic connections, which are criminal ones from both sides. But I'm not sure that Egypt put enough efforts during the last several years, because since 2017, it has a kind of agreements and other understandings with Hamas. So it became a kind of an Israeli problem, the problem of smuggling. Also, it could it's a technical challenge from an Egyptian point of view, how to tackle these tunnels which are underground. So maybe they had, it's not only a question of motivation, it's also a question of technological ability to fight these or to destroy these tunnels. So it will be very much important. I think that Egypt now understands that it's not only an Israeli problem. It destabilizes also Egypt and the whole region, maybe also the world to a certain extent. So it's very much important to prevent this kind of military connections and smuggling in the future.
So, but now it has obviously become, maybe it was always Israel's problem, but I suppose October 7th showed Israel the degree to which it was its problem. The challenge, of course, is that Israel doesn't have the ability to stop on the Egyptian side. So where does that place Israel in terms of attempting to clamp down on smuggling that's coming from Egypt? There's this Philadelphia route that's between Egypt and Gaza. Does Israel have to sort of take long-term control of the Gaza side of that boundary? What options does Israel have?
Yes, I'm not sure what will be the solution, but it should be coordinated with the Egyptian side, particularly the Philadelphia route, which is the route across the 14 kilometers of the borders between Gaza Strip and Egypt. There are some technological possible solutions that are being discussed, for example, building a wall underground with some technologies to prevent smuggling in the future. It should be coordinated and accepted with Egypt. Egypt has its own concerns that there are more than 1 million Gazans that are now staying very close to the Egyptian border, and they fear that the Israeli operation now, in order to fight Hamas cells in this area and also fight the smuggling tunnels there, could make these people to escape into Egypt. This is a dilemma that Egypt doesn't want to face, whether to stop them by force or allowing them and getting into Egypt. So this is another question or challenge that both countries should tackle before Israel is doing anything military there. But I think that we will have to find a solution for the short term, and then for the longer term with coordination between both sides, and to invest much more technological and military capabilities that will enable both sides to feel that you know, Egyptian sovereignty is preserved, and also Israeli concerns about future smuggling is also being addressed.
So, well, thank you so much, Dr. Winter. A very comprehensive understanding. I really appreciate it. Obviously, we can discuss a lot further, but thank you very much for shedding some light on this.
Thank you, Robert, very much. It was my pleasure.
And that's today's edition of the Honest Report podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to our mailing list, our podcast channel, and follow us on social media for the most up-to-date news. If you like what you've heard, please consider a donation to support our continued efforts at www.honestreporting.ca/donate. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.